Okay, so we were in the middle of Moshe's response after the eagle. So just to summarize where we were. So we noted that after Hashem tells him that the Jews sinned, so then God speaks a second time. In the middle of the speech, let me just get where I am. Perek, Lamed Bet. Rezon Pasuk Zayin. Hashem had said, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe lechrei kishchei amcha asher aleita meretz Mitzrayim," and Moshe says nothing. But then in Pasuk Ted, Hashem speaks again without Moshe responding. "Vayomer Hashem Moshe ra'iti et am hazeh v'hine am kshei oref hu." Right, so Shmot Perek Lamed Bet Pasuk Zayin Ted. Okay. So we noted, so the first thing that we noted is what seems to happen here. Why would God speak twice before Moshe speaks at all? We said that it seems to be that, right, you speak twice if the other person can't respond. So the first time Hashem says, your nation was corrupt. He's right. They committed idolatry. There's nothing to do. But then Hashem speaks again and says, I've seen that they're stubborn. Leave me alone and I'll destroy them. So we suggested that the reason God, after the second time Hashem speaks, Moshe can respond is because Hashem is clearly asking for a response. He says, Ata hanichali, leave me alone and I'll destroy them, which implies, if you don't leave me alone, I won't destroy them. So then we move to the next stage, which is, okay, well, then what can Moshe say when there is no response because they in fact were guilty? So then, so Moshe says, "Vayechal Moshe pnei Hashem elokav, vayomer lama Hashem yicharab chabamecha." Why are you angry? But not why, but for what purpose should you be angry? Asher tzidim eretz Mitzrayim kol kadov yad chazaka lama yomru Mitzrayim lemor baraut yamarago tam beharim lachalotam me'al pnei adama. Says if you're angry, the Egyptians are just going to say that, right, you just took them out to kill them, and because, as well, he says in other places, because you aren't capable of bringing them to Israel. So the response he has is, right, the response that you can have when there is no response is, look, I understand that they're guilty, but we have to have a plea bargain anyways because you need us. Now, God could have said, no, I don't need you, I need somebody, and that somebody could be Moshe. So to that, Moshe responds, no, because you promised in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Zechor l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yisrael avadecha rishpat alehem bach, v'tedaber alehem arbed zarachem kechokhvei ha'shamayim. You can't choose me because I'm not a nation. And you promised that we would have a nation. And therefore, you're stuck. If the purpose of the world was to have your name publicized and have people know who God is, the Jewish people are your chance. And if you destroy them, I understand they're guilty, but you need us anyways, and you can't just use me. And Hashem accepts this argument, and that's Pasuk Yudal, Ve'inachem Hashem al ra'a asher diber lasot lamo. So that was stage two, right? First, there was the no response, and then there's the, or it was two and three, right? There's no response, and then there's you need us, and you need us, and not me, right? You need the Jewish people. Then Moshe comes down and gets angry and destroys the Egel, and kills 3,000 people. And we suggested last week from Rai Foreman that the reason he does this, right, because it's weird, he just spent the whole time arguing to God, don't be angry, and now he gets angry, and he kills people, and he forces them to drink the water with the Egel. So we suggested that the Limashal, this is like when you have two parents, right, one parent who is not just angry that the child did something wrong, but is angry because they also had a bad day at work, and therefore they're going to explode, and it's going to be worse than it needs to be. The other parent will discipline on behalf of both parents, but needs to actually express some of the legitimate anger, because otherwise you're just going to make, right, your spouse angry, right? You don't even take my concern seriously, right? So Moshe is saying, look, I really do understand why you're angry, and I'll prove it to you, because I'm going to be angry, and I'm going to punish. But if you do it, if God does it, you'll end up destroying the people, because that's what you said the consequence would be if you were allowed to punish them. So let me act on your behalf, right? That'll be part of the plea bargain, right? You need us, so you can't destroy them, but they still deserve some punishment, so how are we going to negotiate the punishment down from utter destruction to something less? Don't let God be the one who punishes, let me do it, and as a human being, it will be less bad. And once he does that, he's proven that he acts both on behalf of the Jewish people and on behalf of God, and therefore he's the perfect negotiator. So that's what we're up to. Fine, so Pasuk Lamed, this is what we're up to. So now he says, Vayhimi Macharat, Vayomer Moshe La'am, Atem Chatatem Chatagdola. Right now Moshe comes down. Right, he's now expressed his anger. He has defended them from God for utter destruction. So now he turns to the people and says, look, you've sinned. You made a mistake. Vata ele al Hashem. Ulay achvera ba'ad chatatchem. So that I can get atonement for your sin. So what we already have to notice is that Moshe is doing something different, right? Atonement clearly is not just being saved from destruction, because he got that. He's already saved them from destruction. It's something different. But what is it, is what we're going to have to figure out. So, Vayashev Moshe al Hashem. So now Moshe goes back to God. Vayomar, and he says, Anna, listen, God. Chata mazecha tagdola. The people have indeed sinned. Vayasu lahem Elohei Zahav. They've made an idol. Vata. Imti sachatatam. If you carry their sin, good. Vimayin. But if not, v'cheni nav misifracha asher katavta. Then get right. Just get rid of me, right? Get rid of me. It's me. It's me and them, or no one. Vayom Rashal Moshe, mi asher chatali emchenu b'sifri. Said no, I don't, right. I only want to erase those who sinned. Right, but Moshe is not really giving him that choice. Vata leich nechei na'am. I'm not going to erase you because you didn't sin. But since you're surviving, leich nechei na'am el asher dibarti lach. Go lead them. Hine malachi leich lefonecha. Uviyom pakti ufakati lem chatatam. I'll send my angel before you, and on the day that I make an account, I'll bring their sin to account against them. Vaygof Hashem et ha'am al asher asu egel asher asu Aaron. And God, in fact, brings a plague against them, where he does punish them. Now, what is happening, right, in this stage, right? So here, Moshe now seems to be doing something different, right? He says, so far I've protected them from punishment. But now, I want to start to rebuild the relationship with God. But Hashem says, no. Right? He said, I can't do that. Right? I'm willing to not punish them, but I can't have a relationship with them. So what does he say? You lead them, and I'll send my angel, but I can't come. Right? There's only up to a point that I can forgive them. I'm not going to destroy them. You had a point, I'll have mercy. You want me to forgive them? Fine. I'm not going to destroy them. I'm going to let you lead them. But it's not going to be with me, right? It's going to be with my angel. And presumably, this is part of what he'd said before, that if he comes, he'll destroy them. So the same way that Moshe comes and punishes some, so God sends an angel, and that causes a plague. But God himself can't have a relationship, can't be present in the camp, because that would bring utter destruction. So Moshe's next attempt is not just to save them, but also to bring God back into the camp. But Hashem says he's not going to do it. He's going to come back a little bit. He's going to send an angel, right? He's not going to leave them abandoned in the desert. But to personally have a relationship, that's too much. But that isn't good enough for Moshe. So Moshe continues, right? So that was stage, whatever it is, whatever he called it, three. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe. So now Hashem says to Moshe, Lecha lei mizeh, atava amasher lei temer tzrava, arza shenishbad avram litzchak leyakov, lei mor lezarachat tenena. So Hashem says, look, this is where we're holding. I'm not coming, but you take them into Israel. You're right. I promised the avot I would send them to Israel. Go ahead, and I'll send them malach, v'shalach tilapanecha malach. V'geirashti adaknani, v'emari, v'achiti, v'aprizi, v'achivusi. I'll send an angel, and I will... And I'll get rid of your enemies, and I'll send you Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, Ki Lo Alecha Bikir Becha, but I can't come into you. Ki Am Kshe Orifata, Pen Achalcha Badarech. Right, so Moshe fights for more than just forgiveness. Hashem says, I'll give you a bit more than forgiveness, but I'm not giving you what you want. I'm not coming back. Right, if I come, I'm going to destroy them. I'll send an angel. I'll help you fight your battles. I'll fulfill my promise. But I'm not coming back because they are too stubborn. And here, for the first time, we hear from the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people hear that God has forgiven them to the extent that he will not destroy them, but that he's not coming back. Right? They had this relationship, they had this revelation, they had a covenant. So what do? So Pasuk Dalet. Vayishma'am en adavar harazeh v'yitabalu. They hear this. They hear that God, right? Now, why are they mourning? Right? God just said he's going to take them into Israel. He's going to send a malach. Right? Paraglam et gimel pasuk dalet. But they mourn. V'lo shatu ish et yo'alav. And they didn't put on their jewelry. Right? They take off their jewelry. They mourn and they take off their jewelry. Now, this becomes the turning point. Because until now, right, first stage, Moshe avoids destruction by making a plea bargain and saying, God, you need us. And then he says, and there's going to be consequences and I'll carry them out. Then he goes back and says, God, it's not enough to forgive them, you've got to actually help them. And God says, okay, I'll help them a little bit, but only through an angel, because I can't be there. I can't rebuild a relationship with them. And then, for the first time, we hear the Jews, right, mourning, right, taking off their jewelry, showing remorse, showing that they actually appreciate what it means to have a relationship with God. Because remember, God has just promised them he'll bring them into Israel, right? He'll help them defeat their enemies. So they're not upset because they're scared. The fact that they mourn at this point after God said, I will help you win the battle, I'm just not coming myself, I will no longer have an intimate relationship with you. The fact that at that point they cry begins the process of remorse, begins the process of real repentance, and now is the changing point where we are no longer trying to undo damage. But now Moshe can change tactics, and what we see from here on is that Moshe starts rebuilding the relationship on a positive. So that takes us to Pasuk, right, to the next Pasukim. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Emoral B'nai Yisrael, Atem Amkshe Oref. Hashem sees that the Jews actually have remorse at the fact that he is leaving them. So he says, so he gives Moshe a message. Tell them that I know that you are stubborn. I can't come to you. I'm going to destroy you. But take off your jewelry and we'll see. Maybe we can work something out. Right? It happens twice. First, the Jews take off their jewelry. They begin their process. And Hashem tells them, look, I see what you're doing. Right now I can't come to you, but continue that process, right? Continue the process of remorse, and maybe something will change. So they do. They don't just take off their jewelry. They take off their jewelry that they were wearing at Har Sinai, right? And the Midrash has a beautiful way of describing what happens, right? That the reason you have it twice is because they take off the crowns, right? They were given metaphysical crowns by God, Naaseh and Nishma, and they take off their crowns of Naaseh and Nishma. But what the Midrash is getting at is what they realize is that they don't deserve the relationship they built at Har Sinai. So as soon as Hashem sees that they start to realize that, Hashem says, wait, right now I can't come and build a relationship with you. But keep taking off your jewelry, and maybe things will change, and the Jews hear it. They say, oh, you see that we're starting to feel bad and have remorse, and you're listening? So then we're going to continue this. And now Moshe takes action, and Moshe says, okay, now it's time to build a relationship. So he takes the OL, and he plants it outside, right? He sets it up outside the camp. The Karalo Moed, and he calls it the place of meeting. And anyone who would want to talk to God would come there. Now, why is he doing this? Because at this point, God is in the tent, in the camp. So if he wants to talk to God, it has to be outside. As Moshe would go, everyone would look. They would watch him. Because, right? As they've just said, they want a relationship with God. He's going to talk to God, but it's outside the camp. When Moshe would go, so God's presence would come down and speak to him. And they wouldn't come close, but they would bow from where they were. Right? They would look on as outsiders. They recognized that they were at the point where God wasn't among them, but they cared, and they were upset. So Moshe would talk to God, and they would stay in the camp, realizing God wasn't with them, but they would look, and they would bow, and they would respect. In the meantime, God would speak to Moshe, because he was still on good terms with him. And he would come back. But now Moshe says, look, we can't go on like this. The Jews want a relationship. We can't do this. It's not enough to just say, I'm not going to destroy them. You'll talk to me and I'll convey your message. And this is the next stage. You told me to bring the nation into Israel, but without you, but you didn't tell me who's coming. And you have told me that I will be able to know you by name, and I found favor in your eyes. Right? Because despite everything, you still talk to me. If I really found favor in your eyes, hodieni na derachecha, then tell me your ways. And why do I want to know your ways? Because it's not enough that you forgive the Jewish people and let them go into Israel. I want chen. I want you to love them again. I want favor. So tell me who you are. Ure'ei. Because I want to see. Ki amcha hagoy. Or I want you to see. Ki amcha hagoy hazeh. I want you to remember that this is your people. I don't just want forgiveness. I want nearness. Vayomar. And God relents. Because after the Jews begin the process of remorse, and you have these however much time it is that Moshe is outside the camp, and the Jews are looking on, dying to have that relationship with God, right? And they're starting to build it. God sees the sincerity. So Moshe says, listen, I'm not going to Israel unless... it's not, right? I'm not going in with an angel. I want you. So tell me, what does it take? What is it going to take to rebuild the relationship with the Jewish people? And Hashem says, Vayomar panay alechu v'anichoti lach. Okay. My face will pass by, right? And will provide rest for you, peace of mind for you. Vayomar elav. And Moshe reiterates, if you don't send your face, I don't want to go. I'm not going to Israel without you. How am I going to know that I actually have favor in your eyes? Not just me. Me and your nation. You want to prove that you still care and it's not just that you're fulfilling a promise to the Avot? So come with us. Make us distinct from the other nations. Right? It's not enough to not destroy us and even let us go into Israel. We want a relationship. Okay. Fine. You want more than being saved. You want a relationship. You want to know who I am. You want to know what it takes after you committed the egel to build a relationship. Fine. Ki matzati chen beinai. Vayidachav v'shem. Because, Moshe, you found favor. So I'm going to give you the secret. Vayomar. So Moshe says, Hareini na'ad kevodecha. Okay, show it to me. Show me what you're talking about. Vayomer ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. Fine. You want... not right. You want to see it? I'm going to put all my glory in front of you. V'karati v'shem Hashem lefanecha v'chanoti et asher achon v'rachamti et asher achem. I'm going to call out in the name of God, and I'm going to tell you who I favor. I'm going to tell you how I have mercy. Vayomer lo tuchal rod panai kilori ha'adam v'chai. I can't let you see my face. I can't let you understand all my ways, because a human being couldn't handle that and live. But I'm going to let you understand me. Vayomer Hashem, he named Makom Miti, v'nitzavta l'tzor, come to me. Come, sit in this rock. And I'm going to cover you until I pass. And I will cover you, so to speak, with my hand until I pass. So now, right, we followed it. We started with Moshe having nothing to say. Then Moshe saying the only thing he could say when there was nothing to say, which is, you need us. But that was only enough to save the Jewish people. But then he said, but you know what? I understand it was wrong, so he acts on behalf of God. But that's not enough, because he wants a relationship. But the first time he asked for it, Hashem says, no. I'm willing to say I'm going to go, they can go into Israel. I won't just not destroy them. I'll let them go into Israel. But it's only with a malach. And the Jews mourn, and they show remorse. But God doesn't relent. God says, look, I'm going to talk to Moshe, but I'm not talking to them. Right? But he gave them the opening. He said, but you know what? Go in that direction. Keep taking off your jewelry and we'll see. Maybe your remorse will lead to actual repentance. Maybe I'll forgive you. Maybe we can rethink this relationship. And after a bit of time of this, after every time Moshe would leave the camp, they would look dying to have their relationship with God. Moshe turned to God and said, enough is enough. We don't want to go to Israel with your malach. We want you. If you care about us, you want us as a nation, then we need that relationship back. But how do we get there? Because we sinned. So how do we do it? And God says, let me tell you. And here's the secret, right? God is about to explain the secret of how they rebuild a relationship after it's been destroyed. How they don't just save themselves from punishment, but they actually forge a relationship on the after having shattered it. And the answer is the Yud Gimel Midot Harachamim. Right? The answer to that is that God is introducing a new covenant. Not a covenant, as we'll see, of justice, but one of mercy. The only way to actually rebuild a relationship is if God totally changes the requirements of having a relationship with Him. And that's what happens here. So watch what happens. And we're going to keep our eyes on the last source here, that last chart from Rai Liptek. Okay, but we'll get to it in a minute. So Vayomer Hashem Moshe. So Hashem says, okay, look, we're ready. We're going to reforge the relationship. Psalach Hashem v'chod avanim k'rishonim. Write those two new luchot. V'katavti yal aluchot etvarim asher yu al aluchot rishonim asher shibarta. And I'll write, I'll put the words back on them. I'll rebuild the lucho, the symbol of the first covenant. And when you have those in your hands, go and wait for me on the top of the mountain. No one else is allowed to be there. In other words, Matan Torah time two. Right? No one else is allowed on the mountain, just like the first time. So Moshe does it. He writes new luchot. He goes up. So Hashem now gives him the secret. He comes down on the mountain and he calls out. Hashem passes by and he says, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun erachapayim v'rav chesed v'emet. No sherched sed la'alafim, no se avon v'fesha v'chatav v'nakei lo yinake, poked avon avod al banim, v'al b'nei banim al shilishim v'al ribayim. God, O God of power, of mercy, of grace, who has patience and much kindness and truth, who holds kindness for generations, and will forgive sin and iniquity, right? And he will cleanse, but not completely cleanse, and who will carry off punishment for three and four generations, which is, by the way, not a curse, but a blessing, right? People tend to read this, oh, God punishes not only you, but your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. But no, it's poked avon avod al banim al al shilashim al ribayim. The simple read is, he doesn't punish you all at once, he'll spread it out over generations because you can survive. Right? Meaning he dilutes punishment and extends it. Vayimaher Moshe vayikod arsa vayishtachu. And Moshe bows down, right? Falls on the ground and bows. Now if you look in the chart, what's on the left side is how God is described in the first Luchot, and the right side are the Yud Gimel Midot Harachamim. And what you find is that the Yud Gimel Midot Harachamim are a rewrite of the Aseret, of what's found in the first Luchot, but from the vantage point of mercy rather than justice. So, number one, right, in the first Luchot, God was described as Kael Kana, as a jealous God or a zealous God. And the second Luchot, he is Kael Rachum Mechanun. He's merciful and gracious. Two, he's Poked Avot Lisonai. Avon Lisonai. That as soon as someone sins, he punishes them. As opposed to Poked Avon Avot Albanim. He spreads it out over generations. Instead of Oseh Chesed La'alafim Lo Havai, instead of only being doing kindness to those who love him, he's Rav Chesed Ve'emet Notzer Chesed La'alafim. He has much kindness, right, and truth for thousands of generations without that key word of Lo Havai, not only for those who love him, but to everybody. Instead of Lo Yinakeh, instead of I will never cleanse sins, he's Vinakeh Lo Yinakeh. I may not cleanse your sins completely, but I'll do it partially. And instead of in the first Luchot, he said Lo Yisa Lefishechem. He says, I will not forgive you, right? In the language of Lo Yisa, I won't pick up your sin. He says, No Seyavon Vapesha. He will carry your iniquity. And instead of Charon Af, instead of his, right, having an angry nose, he's Erech Af. Right? He has patience, but it's the same word, right? It's Erech Apayim rather than Charon Af. And the key to understanding what happened is that Moshe had turned to God and he said, look, it's not enough to not destroy us. It's not enough to send us into Israel. We want a relationship. But God said, look, you can't have a relationship the way we used to have it. Because I already told you, if we have a relationship the way that we used to, if you sin, I will destroy you. So Moshe says, okay, but is there any other option? Is there anything else you can do? Is there any way we can have a relationship even when we sin? And God says, you know what? If you care, if you want the relationship, if the Jews have remorse for what they did, there is. And the answer is, I need to forge a new covenant. But this time, it's not the covenant of justice. It's the covenant of mercy. I'm going to introduce myself to this world in a new way that I didn't last time. I'm going to forge a relationship with the Jewish people on the assumption that I'm forging a relationship with people who are imperfect. And therefore, built into our relationship is the ability to sin. Because I will have patience. Right? And I will give you time to repent. And I won't exact justice immediately like I said I would. I'll give you a different type of relationship, one which is tempered with mercy. And now Moshe says in Pasuk Ted, Vayomer, Imna matzati chen beinecha, Adonai yelechna Adonai bikirbeinu. If we've in fact found favor in your eyes, then come with us. Then bring your spirit back to us, because we are stubborn and we will sin. But you've just said that you'll forgive us anyways. So come back. And Hashem says, "Vayomer, hine anochi koreit brit. I will. I will reforge a relationship." Neged kol amcha seniflaut, in front of my nation, or your nation, I will do miracles. Asher lo nivru b'chalas v'chol goyim. V'ra'u cholam asher atav v'kirbo et maaseh Hashem ki norahu asher ani oseh imach. And they'll see all the great things that I'm doing for you. Shmor lechad asher anochi mitzavcha ayom. Hineni goresh mipanecha namori v'kanani v'achidi v'aprizi v'achivi v'yavusi, and I'll drive out the nations. Hishamer lecha pentichrot brit le'yoshev aretz, but don't do it again. Right, I'm willing to come back, but don't do it again. Right, don't make a covenant with these nations and fall into idolatry again. Destroy their idols, destroy their altars. And don't bow to other gods. Because God is still a zealous God. He's willing to present himself to you as merciful. But don't try it. Right? He's willing to have a relationship with you. But still, do everything in your power to not need mercy. Right? Try to do what's right. And that's and then he continues with other mitzvot. So if we just follow what Moshe's strategy seems to have been, right? Moshe has this very complex strategy. It starts with don't destroy the Jewish people, moves to let them go into Israel, but slowly but surely says, how do we pick up the pieces and rebuild a relationship that has been shattered because of our sin? And Hashem says, you know what, if you really want it, if they're starting to feel bad, right, they show that they feel bad by taking off their jewelry, they show that they feel like they've done something wrong, then I'm going to give you the secret. I'm going to give you the secret, which is I'm willing to forge a new covenant, one forged on mercy and not injustice. So now if we go to the charts I put here, these are from Rabbi Foreman. What you find interestingly is that these six basic stages follow two letters, throughout the story. And that is, I wrote it in one line in the last one, but here I give you the chart. You can basically figure out the whole story based on the letters Nun Chet as they appear in each stage. So if you now look back at the beginning, right, of Perek Lamed Bet, watch what happens. Right, stage one, God had told Moshe, look, I can't, I'm going to destroy them. So this is stage one, right? This is where Moshe doesn't even have anything to say. So he says to him, Pasuk Yud, right? Ata hanichali, leave me alone, right? At this stage, God is unilaterally cutting off the relationship between the Jewish people and himself. Right? Hanichali, if you leave me alone and let me do what I want to do, I'm going to destroy them. But Moshe says, no, I can't let you destroy them. So we move to step two. And Moshe says, V'echal Moshe p'nei Hashem Elokav, right? He turns to him and he says, you can't do that. Right, because if you destroy them, then the nations of the world will say you weren't able to bring them into the land. So the end of pasuk yurchet. Pasuk yurbet. Vinachem al hara ala amecha. Right, again the nunchet. Vinachem al hara ala amecha. So forgive them. And this begins the relation, right, the dialogue, right? First, there was no dialogue. God unilaterally cuts them off. He has nothing to say. Stage two is where Moshe responds to the reality that they've sinned. And Moshe says, please, hinachem al hara, regret, right? Turn back from the evil you said. And Hashem says, fine, I will do it. Vayinachem Hashem al hara, pasuk yudalid. I'm willing to give up on the evil. But stage two is a request and response. It means change your mind. But it was a change your mind to not destroy them. Right? That's it. Stage three, Moshe says that it's not enough for you to just not destroy them. I want more than that. So Hashem says to Moshe, where am I? In Perek Lamed Gimel, right, he tells him, where was it? Lech Nechei, right, go lead the people, and I will send... he goes down. Yeah, sorry, in Pasuk Lamed Daled, right before that, right? So then Hashem says to Moshe, okay, I'm not destroying them, but you want me to let them go to Israel? Moshe now in the next stage threatens God and says, if you don't forgive them, mechenina, right? please erase me, right? That mecheni is this, has that nunchet again, but in opposite order. Erase me from your book if you're going to destroy them. And Hashem says, okay, I won't destroy them. Lech nechei, pasuk lamed dalet, go lead them into Israel, but I'm not coming. Stage four, Moshe then asks, it's not enough to just not destroy them and let me lead them in, right? I want chen. Right? How are we, right? Lamam em tzachein. How am I going to find favor so you come back? So God says, okay, hanichoti lach. I will pass my spirit in front of you, right? And hide you as my spirit is going. But hanichoti lach, it will give you, right? It'll give you grace. I will give you that grace. And then Moshe again, it said, lamam em tzachein. And Hashem says, fine. Not only will I, right, talk to you, but I'll also v'chanoti et asher achon, right? V'rechamti et asher achem, and I will have mercy on them. And then in the last stage, right, Moshe asks, please let us be your nation unechaltanu, and make us your nachala, right? Make us your inheritance. And you follow the letters nun chet and chet nun throughout the story. Where you have these six stages. That first, the nun chet is unilateral from God. Where God says, look, there's nothing you can do. This is my reaction. And then you begin the dialogue where the Nun Chest is the dialogue from Moshe to Hashem. Moshe says, please forgive us. And God says, okay, I'll forgive you. But then Moshe says, I want more than that. I want you to, right, if you're not going to let us go into Israel, Mecheni, not get rid of me. So Hashem says, you're right, I won't get rid of you. Lech Nechei, but I'll let you lead. Moshe says, that's not enough. I want chen. So Hashem says, fine. Hanichoti lach. I will show you my presence. You can get chen. And Moshe says again, I want chen. And he says, fine. V'chanoti asher achon. I'll give you, not just you, but I'll give the people chen. And then he ends with unechaltanu. Now unechaltanu, a request from Moshe for in unechaltanu is, right, is unilateral, right, is, please, God, without us doing anything, accept us as your nachala. And if you follow, therefore, we end up having a chiasm. Right? This story started with God unilaterally rejecting the Jewish people and ends, after they've rebuilt the relationship, with Hashem unilaterally taking them back and saying, okay, you will be my nachala, right, without you having to do anything. And what moved us towards that was Moshe saying, please, right, don't destroy them. But on the mirror side of the chiasm, right, stage 2 to 5, the first stage until, right, 1, 2, and 3 is avoiding destruction. 4, 5, and 6 is building the relationship. So the change of mind in stage 2, right, don't destroy them, when it's reflected in the second half of the chiasm, in the part of the chiasm where we're rebuilding a relationship, it's not, I won't destroy them, but it's, I will actively give them grace. And step 3 and 4 also. In step 3, God says, I'll let you lead, but I won't come. And in step 4, God says, okay, I will lead, I'll come with you. Or if you now look at the next chart, right, which without all the psukim, you just see it more clearly. At the two sides of the chiasm, it starts with, leave me alone, because the people are stiff-necked people. But after Moshe has managed to rebuild the relationship, he can say, unechaltanu, because they're amkshe oref, right? Or despite the fact that they're stubborn, I will take them back as my nation. So at the two ends of the chiasm, I'm going to destroy them, two, they're going to be totally mine again. And then the second stage is, right, change, right, I'm willing to not destroy them. When flipped, it's not only will I not destroy them, I will give them grace. Instead of Moshe leading, right, God having relented enough to let Moshe lead, God says, I'll lead them. And what's in the middle? Right, in the middle was the people mourning and taking off their jewelry. As we pointed out, the turning point in the story, what allowed the chiasm to reflect itself, what allowed God to go from saying, I'll destroy you to I love you, from I'll I won't destroy them till I actually embrace them. Till I'll let Moshe lead them into Israel, till I will lead them into Israel. What allowed that transformation and reflection to happen was that middle moment where the Jews expressed remorse, where they took off their jewelry, where they showed that they actually understood what they had lost by shattering their relationship with God. So when you take the whole unit together, what Moshe seems to be doing is Moshe is, as we said, the master negotiator, right? He starts by saying, right, because he understands, you can't out of nowhere go from worshiping the Egel to going back to where you were. That's not going to work. You need to build in stages, right? The first thing you got to do is ward off the negatives, right? When there's nothing to say, then say, you need us, even though we're guilty. Once God has listened to that, so then push a little bit farther, right? Not only will he not destroy them, but, right, let the nation continue as a nation. And even let us go into Israel. But that's the most that Moshe can do by himself, right? Moshe can only ward off negative, but God can't reforge a relationship with the Jewish people by magic. But if the Jewish people, even though they've been saved, even though they're going to go into Israel, even though God has promised them he'll defeat their enemies, meaning on a physical level, everything will be fine. If despite that, they're going to mourn because they're going to recognize what it means, not just for pragmatic reasons, but on a fundamental level, if they realize the loss, they realize what it meant to give up on a relationship with God, with that in mind, with that koach, with that remorse, with that love, Moshe can begin to not just save them from bad, but to slowly rebuild the relationship. So he starts slowly. He says, first, God, come with us. Right? Don't send your angel, come with us. But in order to do that, you need to build a relationship with them. Right? You need to have chayin. And if you do that, then unchaltanu, you can bring us back to be your nation fully. And God, and the key to that, as I said before, is God's willing to do it. But the only way that God can, in, let's say, good faith, so to speak, actually build a relationship with the Jewish people, and a sustainable relationship with the Jewish people, is with the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim instead of the Yud Gimel Midot HaDin. And here's where we come back to Yud Gimel Midot. It's not just what enabled God to rebuild a relationship with the Jewish people. It's more than that. Because Moshe was asking God, not just rebuild the relationship now. He was asking God, rebuild the relationship because I want you to come with us into Israel. I want your presence among us. But if you go back to what Moshe said, how can you be with us if I don't understand you? But what is he really saying? He's telling God, look, the Jews are going to sin again. It's not enough for you to say you want to rebuild a relationship now. I want to be your nation again. But how can I be your nation? Because the Jews are stubborn. They're going to sin again. I can do my best. I can warn them not to make covenants with the nations of the land of Canaan. I can tell them don't worship idolatry. But they're going to. And who next time is going to defend them? Who is going to be there to rebuild the relationship? If you, just like them, value rebuilding a relationship, then something has to give. They've shown remorse, so what are you putting on the table? What's going to allow your presence to be among this? Because you've just told us, because what's going to happen? We're going to sin, and you're going to be among us, and then you're going to destroy us, because you already said that when you're among us and we sin, you're going to destroy us. I need to know, are we going to coexist with you, even when we make mistakes? So the Yud Gimel Midot are not just the basis of God coming back. God says, you want to know the answer? If you really care that much, I'll re-enter into a relationship with you. But I'm willing to give, and what I'm willing to give is we're moving away from God who expresses himself in Din, because that, you're right. The Egel happened during the era of Elkana, Pokena, Vot Lisonai, where God had promised that if I am with you and you sin, I'll destroy you. And in Covenant 1, the only choices were let God be among you and run the risk, or let God go his own merry way and he'll send an angel. But Moshe says, no, there must be a compromise. And God says, you know, you're right. If you care enough, here's the compromise. I'm willing to rebuild a covenant on a new set of terms. Right? And I'll take those same descriptions of myself from the first Luchot, and I'll give you a new description. I'm no longer Kelkan now, but I will have a relationship with you as a Kel Rachum V'Chanun. And you know what? I don't want you to sin. But if you do sin, and the God who's among you has expressed himself as the Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed V'Emet, that even when you sin, there's hope. And that's really, right, in the end of the day, the message of Moshe's rebuilding the relationship. Because he manages not just to save them from destruction, but to broker a new relationship, a new page in the history of humanity. A new way that God actually relates with mankind that allows the Jewish people or humanity to coexist with God in their midst, even when they make mistakes. And that's why the Yud Gimel Midah becomes so important, right? And, you know, it's... I'll just end with this. You see that this notion that God is merciful and expresses his relationship with the world in mercy and therefore is willing to actually be here even when people are sinning and making mistakes and doing things wrong, while we cherish it and we live on it. And when you think about what Chazal say, right? When Chazal say that there's a brit kruta l'shlosh esrei midot, right, that there's a covenant that anyone who says the Yud Gimel Midah won't be turned away, and that's why we use it in Slichot. What they're referring to is this, right, that there's a Brit Kruta, that's what the Pesukim say, that God forged a new covenant, and he said, yes, I'm forging a relationship on the assumption that I have mercy, and I don't exact pure justice. And if you turn to God and say, look, I'm flawed, but I want a relationship with you anyways, because I know that's the state that humanity is in. You've said you're willing to have a relationship with flawed people, so then you won't be turned away, because that is exactly the relationship God forged. But that notion, while it's something we cherish and survive on, and it becomes central to our liturgy, is actually one, when you think about it, which is shocking. Right? And the classic person in Tanakh who didn't get it, right, who just understood it but didn't like it, who couldn't handle it, was Yonah. Right? Because Yonah, when he describes God, do we actually have it here? I think we probably did, right? Haftarah of... we do, for sure. Right? After Pesach, Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Mincha. Yeah, right, say for Yonah, right, the key line to understand what Yonah is bothered by is after Nineveh actually gets saved. So in Perek Dalet in Yonah, if you have it, it's in the back of the art scroll, but otherwise I'll read it. Vayiral Yonah Ragdola Veicharlo. After Nineveh did tshuva and God forgave them, Yonah was furious. Vayipaler el Hashem vayomar. Ana Hashem. Said God, Halozed Varia Adayotiel Admati, Alkein Kidamtil Rach Tarshisha. This is the problem. I knew you were going to have forgive them. That's why I ran away. Kiyadati. Kiyata El Chanun Verachum. Erech Apayim Rav Chesed. V'nicham al hara'ah. I know that you are merciful and you have great, you extend grace and you're patient. But he takes out one word, which is emet. He said, that's not truth. And that's what Yonah doesn't get. Because what's astonishing, really, about Yud Gimel Midot is that God is saying he's willing to forge a relationship even when we sin. And yet there's truth to that. Right? That's emet. One of the Yud Gimel Midot harachamim is emet. We don't think of emet as mercy, right? We think of it as justice, but God is saying, no, there is... Human beings are flawed. Human beings are weak. And there is, in fact, a truth to it, right? It's just for me to give you a second chance, right? It's justice tempered with mercy. But it is a little bit counterintuitive. And that's why Yonah doesn't like it. And that's why in Yom Kippur, right, we have that dichotomy. Right, we read about Yonah, but one of the reasons we read about Yonah is because Yonah says, I don't understand the Yud Gimel Midah Arachamim. They don't express truth. But the answer is God says, no, they do. In the end of the day, the recognition that you're frail and therefore I need to temper my justice with mercy if I want a relationship with you, which I do, right, that is true. And that's his response to Yonah, which is, look, you don't get it, but for a tree, you have mercy, but for human beings, you wouldn't. No, you need to recognize there is truth to that mercy. Justice should be tempered with mercy. And that's how the world is going to survive. And don't be upset about it, right? Embrace it. And that is, I think, in the end of the day, the surviving legacy of the Yud Gimel Midah and of the Moshe story. So I think we've done the Egel. So I think we'll have probably do one more Sharon Shmos, right, to close off the Sefer, what's after this, and then we'll be in Vayikra already. Or we'll have to figure out exactly what to do with Vayikra, but...